Turning to, we're going to start actually in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Actually, I apologize. I'm looking at the wrong scripture. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Tonight, we looked last week at how does God look at my sin. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that's where Jesus took our sin on himself. God put it on him. And if you continue in sin, God will chastise you. So that's how he deals with it. And then he will allow you to reap what you sow. But tonight we're going to be looking at what things can I do to overcome sin? What things can I do to overcome sin? Proverbs chapter 28. See if I can get there here. In verse 13, and then we're going to go back to Psalm 32 as well. 28 and verse 13. It says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy." So these are some things. What things can I do to overcome sin? Well, if we do get into sin, if we do cause or do something wrong, the Bible tells us we should confess it and forsake it. Basically, we confess it. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So he says, confess it and forsake it. Forsaking it is simply repentance. Taking an about face, we turn from our sin and we turn towards God. That's what it is. In Psalm 32, we're going to turn there briefly. Psalm 32 and verse 3. It says, "When I kept silence," this was David, "when I kept silence and my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity had I not hid. I said, I will confess my sin, my transgressions unto the Lord. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Let's go to, I believe it's 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. I just want to look at one passage here real quick. 2 Samuel. Chapter 12. So David says here in Psalms, see, when you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, God does not allow you to get away with it. The Bible does tell us, be sure your sin will find you out. And if you think you're going to get away with it, and if you're truly a child of God, you're not. Because he tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 as well, that he will chastise you. And if you don't experience chastisement, he says you're bastards and not sons. That's what the Bible tells us. But he says here, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me." God was convicting him of a sin. But here, if you go back to 2 Samuel chapter 12, this is just right after he had just sent Uriah out to war to die, and basically he murdered Uriah at the hands of the people they were fighting here, the Hittites. Uriah was the Hittite, but they were in war, and he told them to put him out the forefront and then pull back, and basically it was David's command that killed Uriah. So we see here in chapter 12, this is after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. It says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and he said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat, and drank his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man, that was come to him. And David's anger was kindled against the man, and he said, Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the land fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if thou had not been too little, I would moreover had given unto thee such and such things. Thou art the man. So David walked with God. He was considered a man after God's own heart. But God did not let him get away with it. That's why he said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. See, when somebody sins, a child of God sins, God convicts that man. You can become callous, and it could be a while before you come back to the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, we need to simply realize that the sin is our fault. We must take responsibility. A lot of people today want to blame everybody else for everything that's going on in their life. They don't want to take responsibility. I've never seen such a thing in my life. I've always took responsibility for. I hated to take responsibility, but I always did. And then I had to face the consequences. But we need to be willing to accept the responsibility for our sin. Just like David did. As soon as Nathan said, Thou art the man, David confessed. And then he repented. And then he got right with God. But there were still consequences, because we know the child that Bathsheba had ended up dying. David prayed, fasted and prayed. But God still took the child, because he says, You reap what you sow. There's natural consequences that does not go away, even though God forgives us. But the next king in line of King David was King Solomon. And see, that came through Bathsheba. See, God can take something bad in our life and make something good out of it. But again, the natural consequences do not go away. We have to accept the responsibility of our sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. See, when I say that, our sin, if we want to go back to Genesis, we won't, for sake of time, I don't want to take the time to do it tonight because we have very little time. But if you went back to Genesis chapter 3 and verses 9 through 14, when God come into the cool of the night looking for Adam and Eve to fellowship with them, they hid from them. Why? Because of the shame of their sin. Because they were naked. Well, they didn't know they were naked until they ate of the fruit, what he told them not to. But when God came to him, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. So they didn't want to take responsibility at first for their sin. See, it goes all the way back to Adam. So it's not something new from today. It's something that's happened throughout human history. But we need to take responsibility. Your sin is your own fault. We have a choice. People like to use excuses, but we choose to either sin, we choose to obey or disobey. There's one or the other. Okay? So the second thing we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The simple fact of the matter is, we'll never correct anything until we face up to our responsibility. We never will. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The second thing we need to do, we need to accept responsibility that sin is our fault. And then the first thing, that's the second. And the second thing is, don't allow sinful thoughts to control your mind. Do not allow sinful thoughts to control your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. It says, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down what? Imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a lot to take in. But casting down imaginations. A thought in and of itself is not sin until we ponder on it. And then we start making decisions. If we put that thought out as quick as it comes into our mind, if it's a wrong thought, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. If something comes into our mind that's not right, we need to just cast it out. And according to the Bible, we can do that here. See, the Bible tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if you're a child of God, you have that strength that Christ gives you. See, we don't allow sinful thoughts to control our minds. We have a choice. We have a choice to, again, obey or disobey. But if you allow, according to James, James chapter 1, if you allow the thought to fruition, you know, to come to bear fruit, James chapter 1 talks about it in verse 14. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See, the wages of sin is what? Death. It's separation from God. It puts a barrier between us. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. God cannot look on sin. The only reason he can look on us is because he sees the blood of Christ covering us. He sees Christ in us. But we don't allow sinful thoughts to control our mind. And just like a thought or a temptation, it's not sin until we take it further, until we allow it to. See, and then every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, he's just trying to pour on the, you know, and then it bringeth forth sin. So it always starts with a thought. But what do we do with that thought? Our thoughts become actions if we think about them long enough, if we ponder on them. And depending on what we choose to do, it could be either sin or it could be doing good. So we don't allow sinful thoughts to control our minds. In Romans chapter 12, 13 and verse 14, Romans 13 and verse 14. So we take responsibility for our sins. We don't allow sinful thoughts to control our minds. Well, the third thing we see here in 13 and verse 14, it says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not what? Provision for the flesh. Do not fulfill the lust thereof. But make not provision for the flesh. See, if you go back up, verse 11, it says, that knowing the time, that now is a high time to awake out of sleep, and now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering, not in wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We have a choice. Once we've been accepted Christ, now there's a war going on in our bodies between the flesh and the spirit. And so therefore, we have a choice every day. Do we start our day with God? Do we spend time in prayer? Do we spend time in His Word? Do we take time to do that, to feed our spirit, so we have something to go on throughout the day? Or are we starving it out and fulfilling the flesh and allowing the flesh to rule in our life? There's a decision we have to make daily. Paul says, I die daily. He says there in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. So we have to crucify the flesh. And then when we die to our flesh, then it allows us to yield to God. It allows us to be used of God. When we don't make provision for the flesh. put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we need to deny self. We need to die to our own desires and put on Christ. We need to think like Him. So we have, don't make provisions for the flesh. The next thing we see here, we're going to go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, this kind of ties in with this one really well. But Romans chapter 6, and we're going to go back there and chapter 6 and verse 6 through 13. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Paul says, I die daily. If we die to our own desires, our flesh, he says, we're free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. The only way we can have victory over sin is through Christ. He enables us. When we died, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. So we can die to self-desires. We can die to that. Feed our spirits by staying in God's Word. That's why it's important to memorize. In the Old Testament, they wanted it everywhere as they could possibly put it, the Scriptures, to constantly remind them about God. To keep focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to do by staying focused on Him, dying to self, and allowing Him to work through us. And the next thing is, we need to not only realize that we're dead to sin in Jesus Christ, dead men cannot sin. Think about that for a minute. But he says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32, we're going to back up actually to verse 26. It says, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, this is the Lord's Supper, this is the order and the meaning of the Lord's table. Right here in 1 Corinthians, this is what we use when we do the Lord's Supper. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Christ, the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come together unto the condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. See, if we're chastened of the Lord as believers, you got to be one of God's children, then we're not going to be judged like the world. We're not going to, if we're chastened, we're not condemned. See, the Bible tells us if we don't believe, we're condemned already, according to John chapter 3. But this is telling us if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So thank God for chastisement when we do fall short of doing right and we do things that we shouldn't do. Thank God for Him coming and chastening us, just like a parent would do with their child when they do something that they shouldn't do. We should thank God for that, because in the future, when the world and the lost are being judged, we're not going to be judged like that, because God already took care of us. So we need to judge our sin and agree with God that it is sin. Again, when you confess, confession of sin is agreeing with God what he says about your sin. It's coming to the point to where you call your sin sin, but come to the point that you hate that. And you don't want to go back and do that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once we come to the point of agreeing with God about our sin, then he can help us at that point. He's willing to forgive us, and he's willing to cleanse us. But we got to come to that point. And we're going to stop there, because we want to take some time for prayer, some prayer requests, and we'll pick up at the rest of this next week.